Oh, I can't wait. Somebody is going to be encouraged to do something they think they cannot do today. You ready for this? It might be the most life-giving, mind-changing exercise you attempt. What is it? Well, Glenna Marshall has written a whole book about it. She says a lot of people have given up on memorizing scripture for different reasons, but one of them is this oft-used phrase, I can't do it. I just can't do it. She says, if she can, you can too. And the benefits are heart and life altering. So let's get going. If you go to the website today, you'll see that Glenna's book, Memorizing Scripture, is our thank you this month. Give a gift of any size to continue the conversations here at the Back Fence. I am looking forward to sending it your way, chrisfabrylive.org or 866-95-FABRY. Let me put this in your hands so you can hide God's word in your heart. How do you like that tagline? Put it in your hands so you can hide God's word. Let me thank our team, Ryan McConaughey, doing all things technical. Trish is our producer. Pappy is in the chair today. Gabby T will be answering your calls. And if you are a Back Fence partner, I just saw this. We sent an email out a little earlier today. A Back Fence partner is a person who gives each month. And don't miss this resource, because if you're a partner, you have access to this as well. So check your email and make sure that you respond to that, because I'd love to send you this. You can find out more at chrisfabrylive.org. Here's your assignment today. This is what I have for you. If you want to call us and talk with us on the air, if you have a specific question about memorizing scripture, call 877-548-3675. We'll entertain your question today. You want a tip? You want some way? You just can't get all of the Psalms, all 150 of them memorized, and you want help? If you have a question that's specific like that, otherwise, would you pick up the phone and call with one positive of memorizing scripture in your life to tell somebody else? And I'm thinking specifically of that 65-year-old or that 75-year-old or that 85-year-old who's listening, who says, I can't do it. Things go in and go out. I can't remember when I walk in the room what I was there for. Okay, I get it. I've been there and done that. But if Glenna is right, this exercise, you can do it. So I want to hear from you if you have done it and what it's done in your life. 877-548-3675. Glenna Marshall is a pastor's wife, mom of two energetic sons. She's written The Promise is His Presence, Everyday Faithfulness, and our featured resource today. She writes regularly at glennamarshall.com. She writes about biblical literacy, suffering, the faithfulness of God, and a whole lot more. Memorizing Scripture is our featured resource. Our thank you. The basics, blessings, and benefits of meditating on God's Word. Glenna, welcome back to the program. Can you tell I'm excited today?
I can, Chris, and I'm so honored to be back. Thanks for having me.
I think that the one thing I emailed Tricia this before the program, I think the secret that you bring to the table here about God's Word is transformation, meaning that if you have a besetting sin, if there is something that has been wrapping you up, and for you, since we talked last fall, for you is anger. And if you just put your head down and just say, I'm not going to be angry today, I'm not going to be in your white knuckle, I'm not going to be angry today, it's not good. You're focusing on anger. You're just focused on the anger. But if you start to memorize God's word, and it might not even be a verse about anger, but if you start to memorize God's word, there's something that goes on the inside. Talk about that.
Yeah, I think when we're thinking about fighting sin, I think, like you say, like our first inclination is to say, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. But the thing about saying no to sin is that just saying no is not enough. We also need to say yes to Christ. And what I have learned is that for me, saying yes to Jesus means loving what he loves, thinking like he thinks, valuing what he values. And the only way that I'm able to do that is by meditating on his word. And you're right, it doesn't have to be necessarily a verse about anger, although some of those verses are really helpful, you know, thinking about verses in James that the anger of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. You know, those verses are really helpful and speak to that. However, sometimes when I'm meditating on scripture and it's maybe a passage about attributes of God, like his good character, or about just the gospel itself, it just makes sin so distasteful to me. And like, I want to stay far from it. So like, I really think that the more closely you live to God's word, the farther you'll live from your sin, you know, because you can't walk in darkness and the light. So it's one or the other. And so in order to step away from the darkness, you have to live in the light. And for me, I have just seen living in God's word has done that for me.
The very first response on Facebook, the question was, how has Bible memorization enriched your life? Kellyanne said, ugh, caps, exclamation point. This is definitely not my gift. Memorizing Bible verses is such a difficult thing for me. Mm. What do you say to Kellyanne?
You are not alone, sister, because everybody feels that way. I don't think I have ever met a person who says, oh yeah, memorizing scripture, super easy for me. I just have not met that person yet. And I really think we all equate memorization, like memorizing scripture, with like those poems or speeches we had to memorize in school. And it's just not the same thing. Because for me, when I'm, you know, memorizing, I remember specifically being in sixth grade and having to memorize that speech, the give me liberty or give me death speech in my history class, and just struggled because it did not hold the meaning for me that it you know, if it had, I would have had an easier time memorizing it. So when I think about scripture, it's not a school assignment. It's not a speech or a poem or a piece of literature that doesn't hold meaning for me. These are God's inspired words without error, always true, always relevant. And so when I go to memorizing them, like they effect change on my life. And so I can do this because God gave us his word to give us hope. And meditating on scripture is an exhortation we see throughout scripture over and over. And I think in everything God calls us to do, he equips us to do it. And so he's not going to, you know, exhort us to hide his word in our hearts and then make it really, really hard for us to do that. He has created our minds to memorize with an amazing ability. Sometimes I think we just have to take the process apart and demystify it and try different tips and tricks that maybe your brain works a little bit differently from mine. You know, maybe there's a tip or a tool that really helps lock you in. And I think it's discovering, trying different things, finding a method that works for you, and then just employing it regularly.
The other problem is this competition. And I'm not against Bible verse memorization competitions, but there can be this feeling of, you know, hey, I'm closer to God than you are because I can do 1 Chronicles 29, the whole, you know, and it's, that's not what you're saying either. You're not saying in a pecking order, you know, you got a gold star today from God.
No, because here's the thing. There is no pecking order. We're all dead in our sins until he makes us alive in Christ. And then when you are a believer in Jesus, you have all of God's love and approval. So you're not doing anything, not Bible reading, not memorizing, not praying in order to try to make him love you. He already loves you. So our response to his love is to feast on his word. And when we do, we will be so certain and so sure of his love. And so I think that should be our motivation, not to be like, well, I'm a super Christian, but actually, no, I am just a Christian who is desperate to remember that God is good and faithful.
Yes. All right. This is going to be really good. And I can tell already by the amount of phone calls that we're getting here. Janice is in Florida. Janice, why did you call the program today?
Well, I'm so excited about your program today because I have worked in the past with people that were recovering from a traumatic brain injury. And they would say to me, you know, I can't remember things. I can't learn things. I can't remember people's names. And I said, we all need strategies. So everything that Glenna is saying is fantastic. And I just wanted to share that memorizing scripture has totally changed my life. So number one, we ask for God's help. Number one, first. And then number two, get her book, because I'm sure you have great strategies and strategies work. You know, I use my fingers. I use repetition. When I teach the kids in Sunday school, we break it down 3 words, then 5 words, then 3 words. And I have a hard time memorizing the address of scripture. You know, sometimes I know the scripture, but then, you know, oh, where is it in the Bible? But then I learn, like Deuteronomy 31:8, you know, 3 is for the Trinity. There's only one God, and 8's my favorite number. So I just wanted to share some of that and encourage people.
It's got to be hard, Janice. I'm going to have a hard time remembering that 8 is Janice's favorite number, but I get what you're saying. Okay. Do you hear the life in Janice's voice there today? Do you hear, there's a review that I found a little earlier for Glenna's book. I've despised the practice of memorizing scripture for gold stars or Bible trivia. That's how it starts. But the mulling over of God's word, meditating on it like the chewing of a cud, or as Glenna puts it, mumbling God's word to yourself, draws me in like cold hands to a warm fire. So there's a couple of things that Janice said there that I want to come back to. Glenna Marshall's with us. This is our thank you. Give a gift of any size at chrisfabrylive.org. Memorizing scripture. You're going to put it in your hands so you can put God's word in your heart. Go to chrisfabrylive.org. More straight ahead on Moody Radio. Glenna Marshall wants to help you reclaim the art of scripture memorization. Her book is Memorizing Scripture, The Basics, Blessings, and Benefits of Meditating on God's Word. We're going to talk about some of the things that go on in the brain, which Janice kind of referred to, but this is our thank you. Find out how to get a copy, chrisfabrylive.org. Scroll down, you'll see how to be a friend or a partner right there. chrisfabrylive.org. All right, so Glenna, respond to what Janice had to say.
Oh, well, she's so smart to use these little tips and tricks. She talked about using that number 8 because it's her favorite number. So here's the thing about that. Your little mnemonic devices or things that you use to keep words or things in line, they only have to make sense to you. It's really okay if it doesn't make sense to someone else. I remember one time I was working through Colossians 3 and I got to this list where Paul says, put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. And to keep the list in order, I took the first letter of each of those words in the list and I went around and for some reason, the names of all of my neighbors coincided with those letters. And so I just named my neighbors one by one. Now, that's not going to help you, but it did help me. And so even like going back to that passage, even still, I can think of my neighbor's names to help me remember that list. And so those tips and tricks, like your brain really likes that. So when she talks about doing movements with children, I mean, it's great, especially for kids who are not readers yet, to utilize hand motions. There's so much in scripture that has imagery. Like I think about the Psalms specifically. I was teaching my kids Psalm 1 a few years ago, and there's so many motions you can put together with the phrases there. There's so much imagery. So like your brain likes that kind of thing. And if you will employ simple things like that, you're going to hang on to those verses so long, for such a long time.
Yes. Now she mentioned the address. And mm-hmm. using the number 8, is there any other device that you've found to help you remember Philippians 4:13? How do you remember that?
Yeah, so I'm going to let you in on a little secret here. I do not memorize references. And that specifically for me is because I tend to memorize long form or a chapter or a book. And yes. It takes me a very long time. But what that does, so I cannot necessarily tell you that verse in Colossians about putting on kindness, humility, meekness, specifically which verse it is, but I know it's Colossians 3, probably about halfway through. And that just comes from spending a lot of time working through those verses for months and months and months. And so personally, I don't memorize the references. And so I can't help you with that one. But I think if you will memorize those verses sort of in their greater context, like maybe look at the verses around, you're going to know, oh, this is from Romans 8, or this is from John 3. I mean, I just think if you will study that passage as you memorize it, really think through it, your brain's going to hang on to the general area.
Yes.
Where it's found.
No, that's good. That's good. And it's freeing as well. I mean, John 3:16, you know, I see that in the football game. And so I know that, or since a kid, but so that, you know, if you don't know the address, you don't know where, but yeah, you do, you know,
you
in
do.
The general area that it's in, especially if you're doing the long mm-hmm. form. I get that. Mm-hmm. Vanessa is in Indiana. Vanessa, why did you call today?
I call to actually indicate that God only answers his word. And if we find the scripture based on what we are asking God for, or if there is a scripture that tends to speak to you for whatever reason, then it is so much easier to memorize that, because you are able to pray that scripture and God promises to answer his word. I grew up in a Bible-believing church, so it was normal to search the scriptures. And in hearing them over and over again for various sermons and things of that nature, I learned to memorize them. And it just comes as a natural. It's like learning a song. We listen to the song over and over. We memorize it. It is the same. It's no different. Sometimes we have to put a rhythm to it to make it work. It's no different. It's the same.
You are speaking Glenna's love language, Vanessa. You have no idea, because that's exactly what you say in the book, Glenna, the song. There's some, I think it was Romans 8, there was a passage mm-hmm. that you said one of your kids has a tempo on the table mm-hmm. that they kind of mm-hmm. tap out for you. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. We were doing Romans 8 with our kids. And I, you know, Paul, I love to read the Apostle Paul, but it is hard to wrap your mouth around some of his sentences. He is long-winded at times, very wordy, beautiful. I mean, the theology of Romans 8, just absolutely stunning. However, when you're 6 years old, it's a little hard when you don't know what all of those words mean. So we got to a phrase, you know, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? And none of us could get it. We just missed it over and over. And so my son, who was 6 at the time, just put his fist on the table and just pounded out this rhythm. How shall we not also with him graciously give us all things? So when I recite that for you now, in my head, I'm keeping tempo. It's like burned into my memory for the rest of my life. She's absolutely right.
Yes. Why in the dedication you say, for my husband and my sons, and then at the end you say, may the word of God always taste sweet to you, he who ha ha. What does that mean?
So this was part of that little part of scripture, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. And how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? We were working on those phrases with our kids around the dinner table one night. And my youngest son is just such a clown. He makes us laugh all the time. And we were taking turns each reciting, just to kind of make sure we've all got the words down. And it was his turn, and he's just so silly. And he just, you know, then shall we say to these things, if God is for us, who can be against us? And then the silliness just got to him, and he just started ha 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 ha-ing all the way through. And I don't know that we recovered that night, but it's such a funny memory that every time we come to that phrase, we all say, he who ha ha did not spare his own son, which maybe is not like super biblical, but it has made memorization such an endearing process with my kids.
When you are 90 years old, and your son stands by your bed, and he'll be, you know, 60 or 70.
Right.
You will remember that day.
Yeah.
You know that.
I will. I will. And you know what's so beautiful about that is it was a big joke for us, but not long after that, my grandmother passed away and my husband read this passage at her burial, and we're sitting outside at the cemetery around her casket, and my husband starts to read this very passage, and my son, who's now 8, just piped up and recited the whole thing with him. And I thought, this is why we give our children God's word, because I want him to remember that nothing separates his great-grandmother from the love of Christ. Yes. And that she is with him. And so, you know, what is sometimes a silly practice around the dinner table is just a pillar of we are teaching our children about Jesus.
And I saw, I can't see you, Glenna, but the tears came. The tears came to your eyes there because of that connection that you made to God, to each other, and to then the legacy of a life well lived, you know, in God's hands of the grandmother, you know, it all comes together, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, I wouldn't be sitting here talking with you today were it not for a grandmother who was a first generation Christian and committed huge swaths of scripture to memory that, even though she lost her vision later in life, was able to quote until the day she died. I mean, God's word was a treasure in her life, and that really changed the trajectory of my entire family tree.
If you'd like a copy of this, I'd love to put it in your hands. And, you know, give a gift of any size. If you can't give a gift, get the book. It'll be worth it for me to know. And I have enough belief that somebody else will give in your stead. It's called Memorizing Scripture, The Basics, Blessings, and Benefits of Meditating on God's Word. Easiest way is to just go to the website, chrisfabrylive.org. You can call 866-95-FABRY if you'd like to do that, if you do that kind of thing. But I want to put this in your hands. Anna said, I've started memorizing scripture on my commute to work, and already I see changes in my heart and mind. Another, to be honest, I've never tried to memorize scripture with intentionality, but this book changed it. And it has truly changed my life. It is wonderful being intentional in mumbling, meditating on scripture. So when she uses mumbling, there's a reason why she says that. What is it?
So when you read Psalm 1, which is a really beautiful psalm that sets the stage for the entire book of Psalms, the psalmist talks about the happy, blessed man who says no to sin, avoids sin, lives far from it. And the way that he does that is by delighting in God's law, meditating on it day and night. And in Hebrew, that word for meditate translated literally is to mumble aloud to oneself. And I love that, because when you are memorizing scripture with repetition, you are just saying those words over and over to yourself, over and over again. You're mumbling day in and day out, because really your brain needs you to say it out loud in order to retain it. And so I love that connection there. I mean, the Lord knew what our brains would need in order to memorize. And then he also knew what our hearts would need in order to stay far from sin. And that is his word. And so you put those two things together, the physical ability that he's given us, the gift of the Holy Spirit to help us understand and retain his word, and then his word itself to teach us how to live and how to know him and who he is. You put those things together and you're giving your brain something to chew on, but it is having an effect on your heart. God is pleased to use his word to renew your mind.
Yes. If all Christians were to put what Glenna is sharing into practice, another reviewer says, I can't imagine the impact it would have on the church and the world. I agree. I would, and forget about the church and the world for just a minute, my own heart, you know, when I do that, when these things kind of come up to me. So the question then is how, and the book is filled with the how, but my guess is one of the first things that you do is you don't just read the verse, you actually tactily write it down. Mm-hmm. When I put stuff on I got to get this at the grocery store, there are 10 things there. And it's when I write them down, even if I forget the list, I'm seeing that in my head. So there's something about writing it that helps, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think whatever method you're going to use to memorize scripture, you need to start with writing, typing something, printing out the text that you're going to memorize and put it where you're going to see it regularly. So for some people, that's going to be on their bathroom mirror, you know, or maybe on some index cards at their desk, somewhere where they are going to their eyes are going to go to it numerous times a day. That repetition, there's something about writing it. As you say, I mean, I think about like when I'm sitting in church, I take notes. I don't often go back to read the notes, but the act of writing sort of helps take the information that I'm hearing and really burn it into my brain. For whatever reason, your brain likes that method for remembering things. So I think it's crucial. I mean, whether you are writing out an entire passage, you know, several times a week, if that's your method for memorization, if you're doing that first letter method where you just write the first letter of each word, you'd be surprised once you've reviewed a passage a few times, that's really all the information your brain needs. It can fill in the rest of the gaps. But that writing, seeing it, for some people, it's hearing it. So you mentioned someone who commented that they're memorizing on their commute to work. You know, if you're doing the driving, you probably shouldn't be reading, but we have audio apps. We have audio Bible apps on our smartphones. And so we can listen over and over. You could hit repeat on a verse and listen to it all the way to work. And I guarantee you, your brain is paying attention to what you're listening to. And that's a great way to memorize.
It's Glenna Marshall. She's doing all she can to help you reclaim the art of scripture memorization, or maybe claim it for the very first time. You've never done that. And you say, okay, I can try. Let us send you a copy of Memorizing Scripture by Glenna, The Basics, Blessings, and Benefits of Meditating on God's Word, of Ruminating, of Chewing the Cud of God's Word, or Mumbling It as well. 866-95-FABRY, or go to chrisfabrylive.org. Scroll down, you'll see it right there, chrisfabrylive.org. More straight ahead on Moody Radio. I signed up today. I heard on Monday about this, which was yesterday. Been a long week. I'm getting my free 40-day devotional from CareNet, and I want you to do the same. I've been telling you about the ministry of CareNet around the country, the lives saved, the lives changed, all because of this pro-abundant life ministry. If you go to chrisfabrylive.org, click the green CareNet button, and then free resources once you get there, and it's the very first thing that pops up. It's titled A Lifeline of Hope. It's a 40-day devotional inspired by stories from the front lines of the work to save unborn lives. And it compiles 40 testimonies from CareNet's pregnancy decision line, or actually in a CareNet facility, a resource center. And each devotional includes inspiring verses, a heartfelt prayer, and you basically get to celebrate what God has done and is doing by reflecting on the scriptures and seeking him in prayer daily for the many women and men who are facing unplanned pregnancies. Click the green CareNet button at chrisfabrylive.org and then free resources, and you'll see that free download, the ebook, A Lifeline of Hope, a 40-day devotional from CareNet. Get that today. Just go to chrisfabrylive.org, chrisfabrylive.org. Glenna Marshall is joining us today. I'm just so excited about the possibilities of what might happen in somebody's life who's listening. And it's been a while since you memorized scripture, or you've never done it. And you think, well, you know, there's not a whole lot else going on in my life that's good. Maybe this will help. And I think it will. I know it will. And I heard a story yesterday, Glenna. Melissa Hannigan was with us. And she told the story of her son, Joey, and how they had memorized these verses, you know, from a very young age. And Joey was in the hospital because he had had an accident at the swimming pool, and he was paralyzed. And it was in the first couple of days, I believe, of his hospitalization. And the basketball team at the church came and said, hey, we want to put a verse on our jerseys And is, you know, is there anything that we could do? And Joey immediately said, James 1:2, consider it a great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And then that's verse 4, but endurance must do its complete work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. So the very first verse that came to his mind, Melissa was telling us, was something that they put on their shirt as kind of a tribute to him as he recovered. And then sadly, he passed away. And they were dealing with a vibrant 16-year-old who is no longer with them. And she said, this is the verse that the family has been hanging on to, James 1:2. That's what we're talking about, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
It is. I mean, scripture sustains you when there is nothing else. And it's sure when nothing else is sure. And just listening to that story, I'm sure they find great comfort knowing that steadfastness has had its effect in his life. And he is now lacking nothing. And I just think as a mother, you know, I would want that. That is the gift I would want to give my son, assurance that his heart is safe with Christ no matter what happens in this life. And I think that that is the truth that we get from God's word. I don't know how to parent without it.
Yes. And let's say you have somebody at work or somebody in your home or neighborhood or somebody cuts you off in traffic. You ruminate on God's word and you start seeing, I believe, you start seeing the world differently. You start seeing the people on the plane that are yelling at each other. You see them differently than just these people to avoid or problem, you know. You start asking the question, I wonder what's going on. I wonder what's happening there. Lord, mercy here, right?
Yeah, I think so too. I think when scripture is the thing that you give your mind to think about, then the Lord uses it to change, rewire, renew the way that you think. And you see people in their lostness, maybe, Lord willing, the way that Jesus saw people in their lostness and had compassion. I mean, and I think that really is something that I have felt grow in my own heart as I've spent the last several years intentionally memorizing scripture, is that people are like sheep without a shepherd. You begin to view people the way that Jesus did. I mean, that is the goal. Our goal as Christians is to become more and more like Jesus. And I don't know how we're supposed to do that apart from his word. We have to abide in him to think like him. But he does that. If we live in his word and his word lives in us, that's the effect that we see. We start to think like Jesus.
Okay, talk about translation then. What version, you know, because especially if you're doing this in a family or in a small group or you have friends who are doing the same, you want to do it in the same version, and there are so many.
So this is not necessarily like an inspired answer, but I encourage people to memorize in the version that you study from. So for me, I use the ESV. It's the translation I like to use. It's also the translation my pastors preach from. And so just for continuity's sake, what I'm hearing at church on Sundays, what my Bible study, they're all ladies from my church. They're all using ESV for the most part. What I'm using on a daily basis, there's just, it's the same translation. So that's what I choose. But now if I were in a church where they were using, let's say, New American Standard, then I would probably study from that, you know, and just, I think continuity is helpful because when I was growing up, KJV was pretty much all we used in the church that I attended. And I went to a Christian school. So that's what we memorized from as kids. And it's kind of hard to wrap your mind and your mouth around all those these and thous and shouts and shout nots. It's not the way we speak. And so I have found it helpful to find a translation that is faithful and sticks as closely to the original languages of Hebrew and Greek, but also I can get my head around it. So I love to recommend New American Standard, English Standard Version, the Christian, the CSB, it's a more recent translation. I love those. You can get your mouth around the words a little easier on those.
Yes. I'll stick up for King James. I do love the majesty. The majesty.
Sure. Yeah, lots of grandeur there.
Yeah, he that believeth in me, you know, and when you're at the graveside and you're talking about, there's a gravitas that comes from the old English.
Like a weightiness,
yes.
I think. Yeah.
But that's not, But if you can't, you can have all of the memorization, you can memorize the whole New Testament. And if you don't know what you're saying, what you're talking about, you know?
That's right. It's true.
So I get exactly what you're saying. Okay. So the, it was the anger that brought you to this. And then you started not just memorizing individual verses, but these long passages and actual, the book of James and other, and big passages in Colossians and in Romans. Is that, that's going to sound daunting to somebody who's, you know, having a problem with Jesus wept. But so, so talk about that.
So the reason that I love long form memorization is because those verses that are your favorites, when you memorize them in context with the meaning of the whole, all that area, that geographic area that is that verse is found in. Like, so if you're memorizing, let's say, let's go Psalm 23. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It's a beautiful, comforting verse. But when you memorize the whole psalm, that verse packs so much more punch. I mean, it's like you're tripling the amount of comfort that you're going to get from it. So I find that bringing in overall context is really important when I'm memorizing. And so, but people think, okay, I can't do that. I can't do that. But if you're, let's say you set a goal for 2024, I'm going to memorize 10 verses. Well, just do 10 consecutive verses. That could easily be a whole psalm or a half of a chapter if you're in a New Testament epistle. You're just going to memorize that the same way you would 10 individual verses, phrase by phrase, word by word. You're just going to keep going. That's all you're going to do.
Yes. And then when you have insomnia, and I think you've struggled with that, with sleepless nights, you have something other than just worrying about the things that you're worrying about. You have something in there to call back, right?
Right. So it gives you something to sort of ground your mind. And this was a recommendation from my Christian counselor that I was seeing a few years ago, dealing with a lot of anxiety and sleeplessness. And he said, you know, you're memorizing scripture. Well, when you're laying there and you can't sleep, like give your mind something good to think about, to take it off of the things that are keeping you awake. Put different emphasis on each word as you go through. So again, using like Psalm 23 for an example, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And when you're doing that, you are thinking deeply about those words, thinking deeply about the meaning, understanding that Jesus, like God is a personal God. He is my shepherd. He is with me. There's nothing that I lack that he doesn't take care of. And so the good thing about that is you're thinking about God's word, but you're sort of grounding yourself, taking your mind out of those kind of illogical, anxious thoughts that happen. They only seem to happen at night for me, and everything seems ridiculous in the morning when I wake up. I can't believe that kept me up last night. There's something about the nighttime that just ramps up those anxious feelings. But then you ground yourself in what is true. And sometimes that can just really stop that anxious cycle of thoughts.
We haven't even talked about what happens in the brain. There's neural pathways. There's so much here. Memorizing scripture, Glenna Marshall's book is our thank you. I want to put it in your hands. Find out how to do that at the website. Just go to chrisfabrylive.org. Give a gift of any size. And if you can't, great. Let me put it in your hands. Or 866-953-2279. And I have some more calls here, but let me get a piece of paper out. Get a piece of paper out and write these letters down that I have for you. And then I'm going to tell you what they mean. Or maybe you can figure out what they mean. Are you ready? ICDATTCWSM. Write that down. If you're driving, obviously, or maybe write it on on your windshield. ICDATTCWSM. What is that, and why is that helpful in your memorization? You'll hear from Glenna straight ahead and figure out what all that means. ICDATTCWSM. Memorizing scriptures are thank you. Just go to chrisfabrylive.org. I was walking along the road. I met a neighbor the other night, and it was her and her daughter. And I said, "What's your name?" And she told me her name, and he told me her daughter's name. And within 10 seconds, I couldn't remember it. I said, "Tell me your name again." Now, today I can remember it because I use some mnemonic device. There are people who, there's somebody listening right now, and you're saying, "I can't memorize long stretches of scripture. I just can't do it. I can't." You keep saying the can't thing, like our Facebook friend said, you keep saying the can't thing, and you probably can't. But if you start to use these devices, these tips that will help you, I think you'll be surprised. They're included in the book, Memorizing Scripture by Glenna Marshall. I said those letters, those initials really, ICDATTCWSM. What is that, Glenna?
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You're using the first letter method right there.
Bingo. Bingo. So, yes. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want is TLIMSISNW. So you just write the very first letter of the word throughout whatever the passage is, you know, the verse or verses, and you fill them in, right?
Right. I mean, it's amazing that if it's a passage, like let's say you've read it or said it out loud 10 times, like the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, then take a piece of paper, write those first letters to help you review. Your brain already knows. And it doesn't need to slow down and write out every letter of every word. If you just write the first letter, your brain can fill in the blanks. Pretty amazing.
It is, which takes us to the neural pathway. And that's one of the most fascinating parts of the book. But I got to get to Patrick before we end here. Patrick is in Idaho. Patrick, why'd you call?
Hey, Chris. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 is a great one to memorize. Because 19-year-old Florida LDS missionary Micah Wilder was saved with this passage. He knocked on a pastor's door, of all people. His testimony is on YouTube, and his mom and dad were saved after that. It is amazing. I've been looking for something to share at the front door. I got a knock on my door 7 days before I found Micah's testimony. I didn't know what to say. All I made sure I was nice, and I didn't want a Book of Mormon. And they've come back, but it's Micah's whole family were saved because of the passage, because LDS do that and read scripture. So the power of the gospel is unleashed, and it's just powerful.
Well, I'm going to get some email from LDS folks saying, we do read scripture. And that's not, and as a matter of fact,
well, some do, I'm sure.
Yeah. Here in Arizona, we have a lot of neighbors who are LDS, and a lot of times they know scripture as well, if not better than a lot of, the evangelicals that I know as well. But the whole point is, it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Now, there's another one, Glenna, from the King James that bubbles back to me that I understand fully because it's just a part of me. But it's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You know, you're not going to work your way to God. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of religions. Well, in fact, just about every other religion says, and even some Christians, you know, you got to work your way. Your good has to weigh your bad. But those verses talk about the mercy and the grace of God that is a gift. It's given to us. And that's different, isn't it?
It is. And I think that we have to be careful because even in our, wanting to be faithful to the Bible as Christians, I think sometimes that kind of works-based religion sneaks in. So we think, I know I've been saved by grace through faith. So now I'm saved and the rest of it's up to me. I'm sanctified by works. And I think once you're meditating on scripture, this is one of the things that the Lord really unraveled in my theology through scripture memorization was, no, you are actually sanctified by grace through faith as well. This is a work of the Holy Spirit in your heart. And so as I have meditated on the truth of the gospel and the truth of just what it means to live as a Christian, we are doing all things by grace through faith in Jesus. The molding and the transforming work that he does, even through our active obedience, is still a gift of God.
Even this too, if I memorize enough scripture, then I'm going to be okay with God. This is not, you don't earn points with him for this. Mm-hmm. You say in the book, we memorize because we are already loved, right?
Yeah. And I think that it's so tempting with any spiritual discipline to think, okay, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to memorize my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to attend church. I'm going to fast. I'm going to do these things in order to keep God's approval. I know he loves me because he saved me, but if I'm not doing these things, I'm going to lose his love. But that is so backwards, because if you are in Christ, you already have all of God's love and approval in Jesus. You're not going to lose it. So our response to his love is obedience. We don't obey to be loved. We obey because we're already loved. And when we obey and feast on scripture, we will be so certain of his love. We will never doubt it.
Yes. Oh, the neural pathway. I didn't get to ask you about the neural. What happens in our brain when we do this?
So when you learn something new or you try to commit something to memory, I think sometimes we visualize in our mind that we've got this information like a verse and it's in a file and we just put it in a file folder in our brain. And if we could just locate the file, then we could memorize it. That's not actually how the brain stores information. When you remember things, there's all these neural pathways to get to that memory. And your brain, it's like you're reliving the experience when you remember something. So if you will attach more details to your memorization process, say aloud, write it, listen to it, sing it, do a rhythm, do a task while you memorize, you're creating more paths. It's going to make it easier to retrieve it.
Yes. And the working memory. And you'll be surprised at what happens. Okay, so friends, if you go to chrisfabrylive.org, scroll down, you'll see how to be a friend or a partner. Arthur, thank you. It became a partner with us today. Glenna Marshall's book, Memorizing Scripture. It's a game changer. I've been going through it. In the fall, I went through it, but now I'm going through it page by page. And I thought of this carving that used to be on the wall at Moody Radio in the old studios, and it was there for years and years. It was carved out of one piece of wood, Psalm 19:14. And I can close my eyes and I can see it. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I sat next to that thing for, you know, a dozen years or more, and it seeped into my life so that when I close my eyes, I can see that. See, if you get this book, if you get Memorizing Scripture and go through it, I think it's really, really going to help you. And maybe through some of the stress and the anxiety that you might be going through. Glenna, come back and talk with us real soon. Thanks for being with us today.
I would love that. Thank you.
Just go to chrisfabrylive.org. Thanks for your support. Thanks for being here at The Back Fence. We're going to talk about the graying divorce epidemic tomorrow, right here on Chris Fabry Live, a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.